At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Albert Breer is the Monday morning quarterback joining us on the program. Let me start with Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick coaching his last game as Patriots head coach this weekend.
I think so. Now, you know, like, you never know what could happen. When Kraft gets into a room with Belichick next week. But I don't think this is a decision that you wake up on Monday morning and make. In other words, like, in some cases, an owner will decide on the last Sunday of the season, I want to sleep on it, and it's truly a Black Monday decision. Obviously, with something like this, there's a lot more thought that goes into it, and it's a decision that Kraft's going to have made over months, not weeks. And so, like, that part of it, I think, is going to make it more difficult for Bill to move Kraft off his spot if that's what he intends to do. And you know, the very least, I think, you know, what we've seen over the last 4 weeks, the team is still playing hard for Bill and that Bill can still coach. But those were never the issues. The issues are systemic here. And I think if Bill were going to stay in as the head coach, it would come with a lot of change around him. And, you know, after losing the most games at any point in 30 years of ownership, I'm not sure Kraft would even be willing to do that. We'll see.
And we were wondering, are they going to use that top five, top three draft pick on a quarterback? If they're sitting there at three or two, are they taking a quarterback?
It's hard to say because we don't know who's making the decision right now, okay. Right? Like, I think we make the assumption, DP, that there's going to be some changes in personnel. And I think, in all likelihood, you know, Robert Kraft's probably going to want to hire a general manager. Now, whether that's somebody internal, external, but, you know, even if Bill stays, you know, I would think that maybe you'd want to empower somebody in scouting based on where the roster is right now. And we don't know who that person's going to be right now. And we don't know who that coach is going to be. You know, that said, I think it's very difficult to see a scenario where whether it's Bill Belichick as the head coach or Gerard Mayo as the head coach, Mac Jones is back in 2024, which puts them in play for a quarterback next year. Now, if they were to blow the whole thing up and go outside the organization and bring in somebody new from the Shanahan tree or something like that, then maybe Mac Jones would have a chance. But if it's either Belichick or Mayo, I have a hard time seeing Mac being back here in 2024, and that would put them in the market for a quarterback in the draft. Now, whether or not they're drafting third or fifth or seventh, we don't know. Whether or not they're going to like the guy who's there for them at third or fifth or seventh, we don't know. Whether that's a Penix or a McCarthy or a Nix or whoever it is, we don't know what they're going to think of those people. But they certainly will be in play, you know, I think regardless of who's the coach, you know, whether it's Belichick or Mayo in 2024.
Give me the reason why, the biggest reason why Jim Harbaugh will go to the NFL. If that's the case, the reason, biggest reason will be what?
Unfinished business in the pros, I think, would be the number one thing. And I think close behind it would be, like, all the circumstances with the NCAA, you know, and the fact that that thing's not over. I mean, when that notice of allegations was served to him, a lot of people conflated that as, like, being for everything. It wasn't, you know, it was just for the quote unquote cheeseburger thing, which was really more of like a COVID recruiting violations thing. You know, and so that means the NCAA hasn't even gotten to the notice on the Connor Stallion situation. So I wouldn't blame Jim if he threw his hands up and says, you know what, like, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, and like, it's time to move on. And I think part of his thinking here too is, you know, like, that the opportunity to go to the NFL hasn't been vast for him over the last 2 years. So he knows these things can be fickle. And as great as his record was in the NFL level, teams weren't falling over themselves after the 21 season, after the 22 season, to go and get him. Otherwise, I think he might be in the pros right now. And so if there is a strong pursuit of him from the Chargers, from the Raiders, then I think that's certainly something that he looks at 60 years old and says, time to go take care of unfinished business in the league.
He's the Monday morning quarterback, Albert Breer. Speaking of the Raiders, Antonio Pierce has done a really good job. Players seem to like him, but does Mark Davis hold off on giving him the official announcement, the title of head coach, until he knows that maybe he doesn't get Jim Harbaugh? Could it hinge on that?
Yeah, well, the number one thing I think we have to remember here is that he can't just give him the head coaching job because of the rules. Like, so they have to go through a process and, you know, satisfy the Rooney Rule and all the rest of that, right? Okay. Like, so they can't, in this day and age, you can't do that. I do think he likes Antonio Pierce. I know, like, the guys that he counsels with, and there are three players in particular that he's really counseled with a lot. You know, ahead of the Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler firings, and then, you know, into all of this, and that's Josh Jacobs, Max Crosby, and Devontae Adams. I think all three of those guys are strong proponents of Antonio Pierce. But what I've pretty consistently heard over the last couple of weeks, Dan, is that he's got a big swing in him. And I don't know whether that swing's going to be Jim Harbaugh or Bill Belichick, but I have heard that he's got a big swing in him. And if he fails to connect on that big swing, then maybe he turns back to Antonio Pierce. But his dad had a great relationship with Belichick. I'm sure you know about that. And he's got a relationship with Jim Harbaugh. He tried to hire him in 2015 when Harbaugh went to Michigan. So one way or the other, you know, there's at least a lot of buzz out there that Mark's got a big swing in him, and he's going to take that swing before, you know, deciding whether or not to make Antonio Pierce his next head coach.
I'm sure the commissioner has a list of things that if you do X, then it costs you Y, or your punishment is going to be this. But when it comes to an owner and David Tepper, I don't know is there a negotiation that goes on between the commissioner and the owner, like, well, David Tepper. Do you think that this was a negotiation, or just, I'm fining you $300,000 and that's it?
Who's boss? And that'll answer the question.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, is it a negotiation between owner and the commissioner?
I mean, we know who the boss in this scenario is. So I think that there's definitely back and forth. I don't know specifically in this situation, but I do know in situations like this in the past, you know, whether they involve Jerry Jones or Robert Kraft or Daniel Snyder's like the primary one, right? Mm-hmm. Where they certainly didn't just come down and sanction Daniel Snyder. There was back and forth there. Jim Irsay, another one, like, you know, I think this would be one of those where there's definitely some back and forth. And I think, you know, like, to me, like, the crazy thing about it, Dan, is like, you couldn't even take him out of the stadium this Sunday, right? Like, you couldn't even do that. You couldn't even give him the suspension to take him out of the stadium this Sunday. And
why couldn't you do that?
Well, I'd assume it's because Tepper leaned on him, right? Like, the optics of Tepper being back in a stadium this weekend, think about that. Like, I think that's the one piece of this that everybody's missing. Forget about the money. Like, the guy's got money coming out of his ears. So whatever the money is the money. But, you know, like, I think, you know, one thing that I can remember somebody saying to me a long time ago, you know, when it came to covering the league, is like, the one thing you don't do is you don't want to embarrass a billionaire, right? And that's the one thing that really gets these guys. And like, I think in a certain way, if you look at the apology, it wasn't really an apology, right? Has David Tepper really skipped embarrassment here?
Yes, and that's why I said you want to hurt him. Don't let him go to his stadium to watch his team.
Right. And like, that looks to me like that's the part that looks incredibly weak, right? Because I mean, you could fine him $2 million. That's still like a rounding error, right, for him? if you want to make him feel it, you make the story, David Tepper is not in the stadium today.
Yeah.
You know? And then people are looking down the field and they see an interim coach. And they do the math. And you know what the math will show them, Dan? This is going to be his 99th game as the team owner. 22 of those 92 games have been presided over by an interim coach. Think about that.
Well,
22 of 99
okay,
games.
Okay, how attractive is this job?
Well, it's 1 of 32. So that should answer your question.
Well, David Tepper is 1 of 32, but he's not like the other owners.
He's going to be able to find somebody. I think for guys with options, like look at Arizona last year, right? So Arizona wasn't a very attractive job. You got a quarterback who maybe you're not sure on, who's got a massive contract that you're tied to because of the guarantees in it. The roster isn't in really good, isn't in very good shape. The owner's got some checkered history there too. Arizona wasn't a very attractive job. Jonathan Gannon had to take that job, and he's done a great job, right? Like, but he had to take, why? Well, because he's a defensive coach, and every year, maybe half the owners decide ahead of time, I'm not hiring a defensive coach,
sure.
Right? And then the other half are just going to consider it. It's not like those guys have decided they will. So there's going to be somebody to take the job. But if you're Ben Johnson, do you take it? That's the question.
Probably
and
so.
You might not if you have options, right? So I think like these things are a function of a guy's options. Like, does a guy have a strong enough resume where he can wait for a year, right? Like Dan Quinn's waited a year twice. Does a guy have a strong enough resume where he can wait for a year and be assured that his stock is still going to be in good shape a year from now? Does a guy have multiple options so he can look at it and say, because I think like if you look at like whatever the list is of the coaching jobs, the Panthers, because of the ownership situation, are at the very bottom of it. This is like what Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick would tell all of their assistants, right? Which is there's one thing that you cannot change no matter what you do. And that's the owner. That's the one thing, like, no matter what. Like, remember that when you go and interview for this job. Belichick and Parcells would tell their assistants that. Like, the one thing you cannot change is the owner. And right now, David Tepper's, and it's not just this, like, incident in a vacuum. This incident confirmed what everybody thinks about him already, you know? Like, in a three-second video, like, everything that's been rumored, everything that's been, you know, everything that's been sort of stereotyped, whatever, about David Tepper. Like, he confirmed all of it in a three-second video. So, you know, I look at this and it's just a really, it's, again, like, I think the Carolina job, as far as desirability, will be at the bottom of the list, which means they're probably going to have to hire a guy who doesn't have the leverage to wait for another year and doesn't have multiple options.
Good to talk to you as always, Albert. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, Dan.
That's Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Always makes us smarter. Yeah, it's tricky. You're going to get somebody who can't turn down that Carolina job, maybe. Unless, you know, Jim Harbaugh revisits that. Then you're going to have the Chargers. I think Harbaugh's going to have a couple of opportunities. Maybe the Raiders thrown in there. I don't think the Bears. I don't think the Bears are going to make a change there. I don't know what happens in Atlanta either. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to the Raiders, it seems like the public sentiment is all for Antonio Pierce becoming the new head coach. Couldn't they get him on the cheap-ish? And that's supposedly a franchise that's not...
Well, they're paying other coaches.
Right.
Right.
You know, they're paying Josh McDaniels and John Gruden, I think. Might be, you know, paying the memory of John Madden, for all I know. But, yeah. You know, they were in this situation before. Rich Bisaccia. Players loved him. They were playing hard. And then all of a sudden, you go, nope, he's not a big enough name. Man, I just want to know if you can do the job. It's like, you know, Mike McDaniel with Miami. A lot of people didn't know. And then all of a sudden you realize, all right, the guy knows what he's doing. At least offensively. He knows what he's doing there. But sometimes there's nothing wrong with hiring somebody who then can become a name. Not, you don't always have to get the name. You can evolve into a really good coach, and then we remember what your name is. Like Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. I mean, Shane Steichen has done a good job in Indy. But nobody knew his name. You probably didn't know his name until I told you. I didn't know his name until Paulie told me. I'm just kidding.
Got to double check sometimes.
Shane Steichen. Yeah.
That sounds like a football coach. Yeah.
Marcus in Jacksonville. Hey, Marcus, how are you?
Hey, DP.
What?
I am 5'7" and a soft post-holiday 230 pounds.
Soft.
I was at the Jags-Panthers game as a diehard Jags fan, and I think I got hit by a few droplets of the drink thinking about suing because he clearly didn't control where that drink was going. And I got a frenzy style play on words. I'm thinking that David just lost his temper and did what he did. It's like temper, but temper.
No. I got it, Marcus. You're a little late on that. A little late on that. Temper tantrum. Like temper.
A little late
on the trigger.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right.
All right. No worries. You know? I have my slow moments, too, where I'm going, yeah, this is the guy who couldn't remember Albert Pujols' name or Tom Izzo's name a few years ago. I'm like, Paul, I have no idea who that is. He's like, it's Albert Pujols. And I go, all right. And then Tom Izzo, I couldn't remember his name. Just sometimes you have that. And you're like, what am I doing here? Yeah, Paul.
Do you remember when a bunch of years ago we were on Sports Jeopardy and you're hosting?
Yeah.
And some of the questions are really tough, but occasionally on Sports Jeopardy, there's kind of an easy one. It's just whoever hits the buzzer first.
Yes.
I had a daily double, and it was just mine. And the hint was like where Cal Ripken used to work. It's Camden Yards. And I sat there, and you're like, and I paused, and it's like it was on the other side of my head, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
You actually go, Paul. On national TV, you go, Paul. I'm like, Dan, I don't have it. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was like, it was such an obvious answer.
Yeah.
Never, that'll haunt me.
Did it cost you Sports Jeopardy?
No, because McLovin messed up with Lou Gehrig or something like that.
That was fun that we got on an episode.
It's tense.
And it was you and McLovin and Fritzy, and we're on the Jeopardy set. And, you know, you have an audience there. The clues, the people come up with the clues, or the people come up with clues for Jeopardy. And it was serious. And I even said to them, a couple of the writers, big sports fans, and I said, look, if you cater something to Fritzy with the Astros or the Broncos, if not, he's not going to do well here. And even then, they gave a couple of these questions to Todd. They were like, here you go, Todd.
Pressing the button is not working. I actually asked the stage manager to come check out the connection during the commercial.
Like Cinemax movies.
Yes.
I'm pressing the button.
It's
not working.
But they had these buttons. I mean, that's really the key to Jeopardy. The timing of that, you can't buzz in until I'm done with the clue. And then the timing of that is where you can just roll people. Yeah, Seton.
And it's tricky, too, for the contestants because they're up there. There's the assumption then that I know a lot about this, which is tricky enough, right? Because there's a certain, like, it's not arrogance, but there's a certain, like, yeah, I know a lot about this, so much so that I'm going to go on this show. But then you throw in the added dynamic of, like, say, like, the sort of underlying competition, say, between, like, Paul and McLovin, because both of them want to prove that they know more about sports than the other one.
Yes.
Todd, not so much. He's just up there for the experience. But those two, it was like it's more competitive than you think, and they want to beat the other guy just so they can always have the in the back pocket, I beat you at Sports Jeopardy.
But the thing is you we're going to remember the question you miss, the clue you miss. And that's what you're worried about. It's like, oh, my God, I did pretty well, but you missed that one? Yeah, missed that one. Where does Cal Ripken play? Paulie, I don't know. Where is Camden Yards?
Wow.
Oh! Yeah, Paulie.
The first Sports Jeopardy we did, the final question or hint was...
Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, in belated recognition of one of baseball's greatest achievements. And it was in Monument Park?
Yeah.
Is it that at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
And the answer was Roger Maris.
Yes.
And I got it. McLovin went Don Larson. The second Sports Jeopardy, we all got it wrong. Your hint was, ironically, the highest career three-point percentage from anyone named Steph, like not named Curry or something like that. And None of us got it. We were all blanked.
That was Steve Kerr?
Steve Kerr, Steph Curry's coach.
Yeah.
We didn't get the hint.
All right. Yeah, we don't get the hint on a lot of things.
No, we did not.
Certainly Todd. Yes, Todd.
There was one with Russ Hodges, but the Giants won the pennant. What was like said over and over again?
Yeah.
And I actually think, what is going crazy? They're going crazy is what I said. Instead of the Giants won the pennant, which is pretty embarrassing.
But there are times Todd wouldn't ask in the form of a question, and that he complained that the buzzer on Jeopardy, that his wasn't working correctly.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say, oh, that's Jose Cruz.
Yeah, I said, Todd, you have to buzz in. Yeah. All right, let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. And about 40 minutes from now, Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, will join us together. We're back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut. The new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. It's the final hour on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. In case you're wondering, I got through the movie Equalizer 3 with Denzel Washington. It takes place in Italy. Thought it was fun. I mean, it's, you don't have to think a lot, and but it is pretty gory. But he doesn't mess around. And he does give you a warning of 10 seconds, and then all hell is going to break loose. He actually sets his timer on his watch, and he gives you 10 seconds. And then after that, his patience has expired. Yes, Todd?
Did he say "my man" a lot? I know he likes to say that in a lot of his movies. "My man." It's a big line that he uses.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Comes up a lot.
Like what movies?
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but in several movies, he ends up going, "my man." I've seen a lot of impersonations where they make sure they work "my man" into Denzel.
But it would help if you had an example here.
He's like, been in so many.
Like the audience has to take your word for
they
it.
They do have to.
That Denzel says, "my man."
That's big. That's a big thing for
maybe
me.
Training Day.
Training Day.
Training Day. Yes, Pauline.
Do you think when Denzel Washington is pitched Equalizer 3 and he hears it's being shot in Italy for 4 months, that really changes his choice?
Well, maybe he says, "Hey, do I want to do Equalizer 3? Where are you thinking of shooting it? Where would you like to? How about the Amalfi Coast?" Sure. It makes a lot of money, Equalizer, but this is Equalizer 3. It might be his last one. Got good reviews, but, if you need one of those where you go, all right, got an hour and 45 that you want to kill, and maybe kill's not the right word, but it's a good movie, nice scenery in there as well. Yes, yes, Pauline.
Last question. Based off the ending of this movie, without giving it away, could there be an Equalizer 4?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I was worried about that.
But I think he found happiness. I think he may have found happiness. He's equalized, and the woman who's in there is hot enough to stay in, the Amalfi Coast. Yes, yes. Eaton.
Plus, the number 4 feels more equal than the number 3. It's more like equal parts or something, and it just feels better.
So, would it be unequalizer 3 and then equalizer 4?
Just a little more.
Okay.
Yeah. Going quarters, or maybe.
Yes, Todd.
Make a playoff 4 with a time for another, and they'll do that kind of stuff. Get you excited about just one more sequel, because Hollywood runs out of ideas. They got to keep regurgitating the same movie.
All right. Dan Marino and Jim Kelly are going to be on the program. Fritzy's been working on that, and Buffalo plays Miami, and Fritzy goes, "What about Jim Kelly and Dan Marino? Get them together." And I said, "Sure, see if they'll come on." Yes, Pauline.
I have a poll question I've been saving because I think it's a little awkward.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Does this have to do with Jim Kelly and Dan Marino?
It does.
Whose career would you want?
Whose career would you want? Oh. I think it's a very tough question. Because both of them, it's 90% positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim Kelly appeared in 4 Super Bowls that he brought his team to.
Yeah.
Dan Marino is at worst considered one of the best quarterbacks, maybe most talented quarterback of all time.
All right.
And is truly an NFL legend.
Yeah.
If anyone is.
Okay. I would take Dan Marino's career. Because, I mean, Miami's still trying to replace Dan Marino. He's one of those figures that just looms over that franchise when it comes to quarterback play. And plus, he looked like David Hasselhoff. Like, he checked all the boxes there. And, the Isotoner glove commercial, do you remember that? When he had that? I didn't have gloves, but I wanted Isotoner gloves just because Dan Marino said, you're his receivers wear these. But yeah, I'd say Dan Marino. He kind of, that's the image that pops up sometimes when you go, how about a quarterback who'd really sling it, Dan Marino? Jim Kelly put up some big numbers, man. Big numbers. And went to 4 Super Bowls. The straight Super Bowls. So they'll join us coming up. By the way, 9 49ers picked to the Pro Bowl. Ravens, Cowboys have 7 each. Quarterbacks sitting this weekend, Purdy, Stafford, Mahomes, Flacco, and Jackson. Also, 8 Alabama players entered the portal, including the center, who did not have a good night in that semifinal game. But he entered the portal. LSU let their defensive coaches go. That was one of those, like, wait, what happened here? Yeah, pretty much all the defensive coaches let go by LSU. But the transfer portal and some of these teams, it giveth and it taketh away. I think if you're Alabama and somebody's going in the portal, chances are you probably have a better replacement on the way. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you, our streaming partner. Download the app if you haven't done so. Golf season starts today in Maui. It's the Century there. I always love watching that. Now, I've never been able to play those courses over there. I think I played one course over there when I was shooting a movie with Sandler, but I haven't been able to play that golf course. I don't know what hole it is, but it's like you hit it over the hill and then it rolls like 500 yards. I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's a nice way to start the golf season there. All right, a couple of phone calls in here. Keith in Missouri. Hi, Keith. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
512-200. I was just wondering, you know, we know Eli Manning is going to get into the Hall of Fame despite a spectacular career because he's got two Super Bowls. If Joe Flacco wins a second Super Bowl this year, does he go in?
I'd have to look at all the numbers. I would say no. But, you know, he would be up there as far as having a good, you know, Jim Plunkett, to me, should go in before Joe Flacco, if that was the case. But, you know, Joe is a great postseason quarterback. His numbers bear that out. So I think, you know, when we get, it's tricky. Because Eli played in New York and had, you know, longevity with one franchise. And he won two Super Bowls and he beat the Patriots in both of those. That carries a little bit more cachet. So, I'm glad I don't vote on it. It's tough when I used to vote on the NBA, and then, you know, I'd vote for the Heisman. I mean, if you know, because you can't just be cavalier with this and go, I changed the Rookie of the Year award because I changed my vote. It was Grant Hill and Jason Kidd, and I was faxing in my ballot, and then I changed my ballot, and they ended up in a tie. So, kind of interesting, though, that, you know, when you look back on that, two great players, but you're voting, and it could be one, two, or three. I mean, the late Fred Hickman, God rest his soul, I think he didn't vote for Allen Iverson. I think somebody was going to have a unanimous MVP. Was that Shaq who he didn't vote for? I think he voted for Allen Iverson. I mentioned this story earlier, that it is a bigger story outside the United States. And I'm surprised at this, but it's a bigger story in France. It has to do with Victor Wembanyama putting himself into a game. Tuesday night, he put himself back in the game, and then I think he had a dunk, and then Pop took him out. Pop didn't put him in. Victor Wembanyama checked himself in. So it's a big story in Victor Wembanyama's, you know, home country of France. Tom Osborne covers the Spurs for the San Antonio Express News. Is this going to be a bigger deal here, Tom?
Hey, Dan, good morning. As you said, yeah, in France, everything's a big deal with Victor. But here, I think that, you know, he's stressed over and over again that he's on board with the minutes restriction that was placed on him 5 games ago due to a series of ankle tweaks. He's on board with it, but he's growing frustrated with it too, because he really doesn't think he's injured. And the Spurs love his competitive fire. They love the fact that he wants to play. You know, he'll play every minute of every game if he had his way. He's super competitive, and you know, he's durable despite his frame. You know, he's tough. He knows how to fall. It's amazing. When you watch him crumple to the floor, he knows how to do it. It's kind of like Tom Brady when he used to get sacked.
Yeah, but Tom, he checked himself into a game in front of Greg Popovich. Yeah. Is that what happened?
That's what happened. He had lobbied. You know, when they took him out, I don't know what it was. I think it was 16 points. He had reached his minutes limitation of 25 minutes, which was one over the 24 that they set. But he saw that they kept cutting into the lead. He thought they could win it. He's frustrated. He's telling, you know, I'm okay. What's another 1 or 2 minutes? Let me back in. And he just slipped past Pop, checked himself in, actually got a dunk that cut it to 8 points with 147 left. And then Pop, you know, said, come on, get out.
But did you know what was going on? Tom, did you know what was going on in that moment that he checks himself into the game without, you know, Pop's permission?
No. He explained it afterward that he did it on his own. you know, he wasn't supposed to sub in. He subbed in. Pop you know, I guess he was, we didn't get, we talked to Victor after Pop, so it was kind of a, you know, we couldn't ask Pop about it because we didn't know the story at the time.
I, you know, Pop's a disciplinarian. I don't know if he has fun with this. Is this story over?
I'm sorry about that, Dan.
Is this story over?
You know, we'll be talking to Vic, both Victor and Pop, about it today. Pop pregame, Victor after the game. You know, Pop, Victor made it clear he wants, you know, he would love to have the minutes restriction lifted. Pop said we got to take some more MRIs, you know, take a look, re-examine his ankle. Their fear is that it's been tweaked so much that the ligaments might be stretched, which makes him vulnerable to more injury, further injury, makes him susceptible. So I would imagine sooner rather than later they'll take that MRI, and you know, the restriction will be lifted pretty soon, I would think.
Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, Tom.
Anytime. Thank you, Dan.
And that's Tom Orsborn, San Antonio Express, covering the Spurs. To me, it's pretty wild. Imagine if how many players can check themselves into a game? I don't think there are any rookies who can do that. And how many players could do that under the watchful eye of Greg Popovich? I can't imagine that. Where he wants back in.
Imagine if the Jets game this weekend, we're watching it, all of a sudden Zach Wilson just runs on the field and taps Trevor Siemian on the shoulder, goes, "Hey, you're out." Yeah. And he doesn't tell anybody.
Yeah. Well, the difference is Victor Wembanyama will be there next year. Oh. Zach Wilson probably won't be there next year. Yeah, yeah. Going out on a limb with that one. Going out on a limb. Aaron in Fort Wayne. Hi, Aaron. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
First off, I'm home watching it first time on Peacock, and thank you so much for putting that picture up. I got some bad sciatica pain, and Todd Fritz, my opinion of you after seeing that picture has totally changed. You are an Adonis, my friend. So, and my next thing, I have a pie to the face bet for Seton. Oh. You said the Patriots weren't going to take a quarterback overall.
All right.
I'd like to get it for that.
All right. So, Aaron wants a piece of you, Seton. You say the Patriots do not take a quarterback with that pick.
With the third pick.
If it's, well, let's say top five, depending on what happens.
Okay.
All right. So, Aaron, that's it. If the Patriots stay in that top five, that you say they'll take a quarterback, Seton says they won't. Pie to the face is on the line.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Aaron. That's how it's done on this program. Kyle in Vegas. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Good, sir. What do you have?
Good. So I heard you mention something earlier that was pretty interesting. So you had said that the Dolphins are still looking for their replacement of Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Well, we know they drafted Tua before Herbert, but if they would have drafted Herbert before Tua and he would have been there with the Dolphins right now, would they have found their replacement? I mean, being that all of his skills, his big arm, his hair, his good looks, does that match up with the Dan Marino replacement?
Yeah, probably if you're looking for the same kind of quarterback. You know, Justin Herbert, a better athlete, at least more mobility than Dan had. But, you know, are we all sold on Tua? Like, I'd like to give these, you know, situations another year. You know, like Jalen Hurts. I know he was wonderful in the Super Bowl. Hasn't been great this year. Now, is that coaching? Is it wide receivers? Is it the Super Bowl hangover? Like, Danny Dimes, I just want to wait just as long. Like the Cardinals with Kyler Murray. I don't want to get in there too early. And, you know, some of these situations are awkward there. But you know what's really awkward is when you overspend for a quarterback and then you can't get rid of him. Just look at what Denver did with Russell Wilson. I always want to wait one more year. Like, prove it to me one more year. Eddie in Atlanta. Hi, Eddie. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, DP?
Good, Ed.
Hey, I just want to say I'm 5'7", 155. First time, long time. I just want to give Fritzy, my favorite Danette, a nickname.
Okay.
Timex. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Oh, all right.
That's very nice. I'll take that.
All right. Timex. right. Do you have a nickname?
Other than Fritzy, not really.
No? Yeah. And that's just kind of a play off your last name.
Yeah, last time I had a nickname, I was in third grade. I used to bring out Starburst to everyone in elementary school, and they called me the Starburst Kid.
Starburst Kid. All right. Well, that's nice. Dan Marino and Jim Kelly will join us coming up. We'll take a break. We're back after this. Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. The versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan. Mercedes-Benz makes electric extraordinary. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling all Mercedes. Choice all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ. Bills, Dolphins, Sunday night, and the AFC East is at stake. Dan Marino, former Dolphins quarterback, and Jim Kelly, former Buffalo Bills quarterback, both Hall of Famers, joining us on the program. Thanks for joining us, guys. When's the first time you guys met?
Jim, do you want to answer that, Jim?
No, go ahead.
We met at Jack Lambert's football camp, and we were both just got in college. I think we were young. We were like freshmen or something like. Like, I want to say it was like in Ligonier where the Steelers have their training camp. And, yeah, and we met – it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and the thing about that is also is, of course, both of us growing up being Steeler fans, and when you're invited to be a coach at a Jack Lambert football camp, you jump on it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what both of us did. We got to meet each other, and we've been friends ever since.
Dan, did you get an offer to join the USFL? I know Jim went to the USFL, but was there any thought of you playing, you know, in the USFL?
Wow, that's out of nowhere, Dan. Thank you. Yeah, I got drafted by the LA Express. Now, everybody knows, like, Steve Young was the one that signed a contract a year later, but I got drafted. I had an opportunity to go to the LA Express. Yes, I did. And they, unlike they paid Jim a lot of money down there in Houston. They didn't want to pay me.
Jim, how close were you not going to the USFL?
What's that?
No, I was asking Jim how close he was to not going to the USFL.
Well, long story short, you have to remember, Dan was drafted by the Dolphins, or he could go to the LA Express. Back then, I was drafted by the Buffalo Bills, and I was drafted really by the Chicago Blitz. And bottom line is, long story short, we were in the office ready to sign a contract with the Buffalo Bills. And Bruce Allen, who was, I think, the general manager at the time, called the Bills' office. And he got the secretary to interrupt our meeting. And he went out, my agent went out and talked to Bruce. And he said, what are they offering you? And my agent told him, he said, oh, no. He said, don't sign that. He said, we'll give him a lot better deal. He can pick any team in the USFL he wants, and we will pay him more money. That's about all I needed to hear, because if you remember, Dan and Dan, back then the Buffalo Bills were not very good. I think they went, after I signed with Houston, they went back-to-back 2-14 seasons, so that wasn't very good.
How much competition was there between all of you guys who were drafted that year?
I mean, I can answer that. I think that just the competitiveness of the great players there in that first round, in that draft, the quarterbacks, there was a lot of, just to compete, especially, inside the AFC East. You're playing the Buffalo Bills, you're playing, against Jim Kelly and those guys and the Jets, and it was Kenny O'Brien, and it was just one of those. And Tony Eason, yeah, it was very competitive. And it's just part of it. That's what made it great. That's what made it, so special.
Well, I wonder about this with Elway and Montana and how much competition there was with those guys. And I don't know, Dan, I know you fairly well as far as being a great competitor, and certainly you, Jim, but do you take it personally, like when somebody says, oh, that guy's a better quarterback than you, and you're going to go face that quarterback? Did you take it personally like that, Dan?
No, I felt that, to me, there was a lot of respect involved, and that's the main thing, the respect for Jim, Joe, John, all those guys. But at the same time, you feel like you're going to go in there and you're going to, whip their butt. Like, that's what you want to do. You want to do that every day. That's why you're becoming, or you are a great quarterback, or you've been a great quarterback, or whatever the circumstance may be. But that's what it's about. But to me, I always respected those guys for what they did, because I knew what they went through. I knew what I was going through. And I always had respect for what they did as professionals and also as friends as time went on in life.
What do you guys think about first ballot Hall of Fame? Maybe a different shade of jacket for the Hall of Fame. Or maybe a different level for where your bust is. Jim, I'll start with you.
Well, to be honest with you, I grew up in a little small town in East Brady, Pennsylvania. Dan knows about this. And I personally, just like all little boys growing up in Pittsburgh or Buffalo or whatever, you have your dream. Your dream is to play professional football. Well, my town was so small that nobody ever thought about it. Yeah, you can dream just like every kid does. But when I finally made it there, and you dream about the NFL and being able to take care of mom and dad, and for me, making my five brothers proud of me, that was awesome. Never in a million years thinking Hall of Fame. And then as time goes on, if you play well and you do well, the talk starts coming out, and there's nothing you can do about it. But it was, to go back from the previous question with Dan, the respect that you have and all the guys that you've grown up with, you played the game with, played the game against, I should say. The respect factor has always been there, especially between Dan and I, because we knew each other a lot longer before we were, good players in college football, and then, of course, the NFL, and then now with the Bills against the Dolphins year in and year out. I don't mean to change the subject a little bit, but to Dan, to Marino, this one, it's not like it used to be. I mean, when we were best friends off the field, but when we got on the field, we're, yeah, enemies to a certain point, but it, I just don't get the feeling of Bills against the Dolphins now like it used to be back in our day.
Did you guys, you know, shake hands and hug after the game?
Dan? Always. Yeah. Always.
Okay.
That's my guy right there that you're talking. Jim Kelly's my man. I love him forever, forever. And even when I was playing, you know, if it wasn't like me, look, Jim Kelly for the Buffalo Bills was the most amazing thing that happened to them at the time, because we used to beat them up pretty good. And then they got Bruce Smith, they got Cornelius Bennett, they got Daryl Talley, and then Jim Kelly. And they took over, and they were a great, great football team, and prevented us actually from going to Super Bowl a couple times, because I felt we were good enough to go, but we couldn't beat those guys.
Yeah, between
that's funny you say it, because it's interesting, because people always come up to me, a lot of people say, you know what, I used to not like you. I go, what, you're a Dolphin fan? They go, how did you know? Because I met so many people, and I'm not going to name names, from the Dolphins organization that said, why did you do that to us? You ruined my check that I was going to get for playoffs. I go, you weren't playing. Yeah, the front office gets money too. I'm like, oh, sorry about that.
We're talking to Dan Marino and Jim Kelly. It's the Bills and the Dolphins coming up Sunday night. All right. Kelly just tried to avoid the sack there with the question, Dan. Let me ask you, what about a different shade? What about a different shade of jacket if you're first ballot Hall of Famer? Dion's talked about everybody's getting in. Too many people getting in. Your thoughts?
So, personally, I trust in what the Hall of Fame is doing. I think if you get a gold jacket, you deserve to wear a gold jacket, no matter what anybody else thinks or whatever that is. You know, it's a top of the chain as far as football is concerned, and everything that goes with it. To me, there should not be any distinction between a gold jacket.
Okay. That's fine.
10 years from now, or if you get in the first ballot, or if you get every vote, or I mean, it does to me, it doesn't matter. It's awesome to get in and to be a part of that group. I am, like I said, about respect for Jim, respect for nothing but the greatest for all the Hall of Famers.
No.
Where are your jackets right now?
Mine's in Florida.
Okay.
Mine's in Buffalo, in my closet, hanging up. We got a couple of jackets. Patrick, we got a couple of jackets now, because I know at least I grew out of mine, and then I grew into it, and then I grew out of it again. So they got a couple. As a matter of fact, last year they refitted us for new jackets, so we're going to be going on to the third jacket. But to make a long story short, what Dale was saying, I agree 100%. Gold jacket's a gold jacket, and I don't know many people that ever – dreamt about being in the Hall of Fame, more so playing in the NFL, but to get into the Hall of Fame, when you walk into the room, at least when I did, you see guys like Joe Namath and Terry Bradshaw, Bob Greasy, all the guys you looked up to and admiring and idolizing. You see them in the room. Then you see Deacon Jones and guys like that. You're like, wow, I'm a part of this now. It's there's nothing like it ever, and I'm just thankful to God that I was able to do it and be a part of guys and be friends like with Dan, which I consider one of the greatest players to ever play the game, on and off the field.
Dan Marino, Hall of Famer, and had a Super Bowl appearance with the Dolphins, 5-time passing leader, 9-time Pro Bowler. You know, that Pro Bowl doesn't sound as impressive as it used to be, where guys are getting in, it might be the fifth alternate. How many Pro Bowl? You're a 5-time Pro Bowler, Jim. So why do we – it feels like there should be that designation of those who got into the Pro Bowl this year, yesterday, those are your Pro Bowlers, not the fifth quarterback who is going to be an alternate here. Where do you guys stand on that?
The line is also, when we were getting in, they were only picking 2 quarterbacks early in our careers.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was hard to get into the Pro Bowl because a lot of guys played in them. Like Dan, I don't think Dan played hardly any. Did you play in any?
No, I played in 3. Out of the 9.
Nine-time Pro Bowler, he played in three.
You always had a little injury, Dan. You always had an injury.
I had postseason stuff I had to deal with, you know. And also, there was a golf. There was a golf.
More importantly. All right, Dan, I'm going to have you assess Jim's quarterback for his team, and then, Jim, you do the same for Dan's team. So, you, Dan, look at Josh Allen, and what do you see?
Well, Josh Allen is he's an amazing player because of what he brings to the table every day and every week, and he don't miss games, and he can run, he's physical, and he also can throw the ball, you know, as well as anybody in the league. And you could tell that, you know, he loves to compete. He's tough, and he's, you know, for the Dolphins in it, you know, having to deal with him a lot is it's tough. It's hard. And we're going to have our work cut out for us, the Dolphins, this week because of guy like Josh Allen and how he plays.
Jim, assess Tua Tagovailoa.
First of all, I think I could pronounce it Tua Tagovailoa, correct?
I think Dan messed that up.
Oh, wait, I screwed that up?
I think you did, but that's okay.
Wait, it's not Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Jim just said. Now you corrected yourself.
Why are you exactly starting with it? This is what Marino does. Come on, don't double-team me like this. That's not right.
Well, I think
I got the Tua correct there. I got the Tua correct here. All right, Jim.
One out of two ain't bad, Dan. You're doing good. But, no, I think his accuracy is unbelievable. I think he's done a good job of getting the ball to the guys and letting them do the work, and that's why I tried all this. I know my old cliche, you take what they give you, because too many times I see – people trying to go deep all the time, not just Josh, but other people. I get it to a certain point. But Tom Brady lived on that little short crossing routes and give it to the receivers, let them run with it. And Tua's got two of the top receivers in Hill and, of course, Waddle. And I'm not sure if Waddle's playing or not or how healthy he is. He's got all the ammunition around him to play well. And that's what you need. I mean, he had Duper and Clayton. I had Lofton and James Lofton and Andre Reed on my side. So we had great guys just like Tua has now. And I know the Bills have Diggs, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be a battle, and I can't wait to watch it.
Jim, when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis, did you guys go to Prince's house?
Who's?
Prince, the singer.
No, I didn't. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't remember. I remember something you brought up about that a long time ago, but no, I never did.
Okay. You went out other places. You just didn't go to Prince's.
Oh, we went out to, you know, we went to have dinner and stuff like that. Yeah, we went to other places. But once, Friday rolled around, we were focused on what we had to do. Mozart. I can't say everything. Bottom line is, we got jacked a lot by people saying, you guys partied too much. You had too much fun. You know why? We won. When you win, you have fun. And Dan knows, just when you're a little superstitious, things like that happen. So that's one of those things you just have to do.
Wait a minute. You're saying you had to celebrate, you had to party because that was...
You have to party, Jim. You had to party.
When you're superstitious, you do what you did the week before that. If you're winning, you do the same thing. If you're losing, you try to change up what you did before. We tried that. We went from our first Super Bowl to our second Super Bowl, and then 2, 3, and 4. Every year we said, well, maybe if we do this and we change it up a little bit, we might win one. Unfortunately, it never worked.
Dan, did you have that same logic, that whatever you did the previous week?
I kind of, you know what? I'm a little more boring than Jim was talking about, but I kind of did the same routine no matter what. So, but I would change up a little bit, but I wasn't that superstitious that I had to worry about how I got dressed and all the other things. It was more a certain routine that I was in, but those guys were such great players and all that, they could handle going out and partying and also playing well, believe me.
Jim's the Tom Brady of beverages.
I used to be.
Okay.
I don't do that. I'm going through some other things going on, and I can't really have a... I'm here with Greg Cipolla. It's Dan's high school teammate. I'm down in Miami now, and we drank a bottle of wine last night, and I go, bro, this is not tasting as good as it usually does. So, but make a long story short, times change.
Oh, my God. You'd walk into a bar.
He's got a lot of money. Drink all his expensive wine, please.
We already did. We broke a bunch of his Camus and all his.
Bring some to the game Sunday night. Have him bring some to the game.
You know I can't bring that into the stadium.
I think I can get you arranged.
I think you probably could, too.
Jim, just give the wine to Marino. He can bring it in.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have to make sure that there's I bring three bottles, I'll end up with one. He'll drink two of them before he gets there.
Great to talk to you guys. Happy the friendship continues, and thanks for joining us. Have fun on Sunday night.
Dan, thank you.
Sounds good. Yeah, take care, Dan and Nan.
Love you guys.
Thank
Be
you,
safe.
Man. All right. Dan Marino, Jim Kelly. You know, been friends for a long, long time. You'd walk into a bar, you didn't want to see the Kelly brothers. If Jim was Jim there and you saw his brothers, it's like, oh boy, because you kind of have to try to keep up with them if you're going to be around them, and that's not a good idea.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.